Warm greetings, friends, near and far. The Lord Jesus Christ be magnified forever and ever. His loving kindnesses, tender mercies, and compassions are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. This is Sinner Saved coming at you with the following short evangelistic gospel message, which is sponsored by Preacher Wayne Boyd and the Brothers and Sisters in Christ Jesus at First Baptist Church located in Almont, Michigan, USA. And God willing, this broadcast will reach you, Lima Charlie, loud and clear. Is my hope and prayer unto God Most High, the only Holy Father, that his only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, the Lord our righteousness, be greatly exalted, that his everlasting gospel be clearly proclaimed, that the pride of mere flesh and blood men be humbled, and that his elect saints be greatly encouraged, cheered, and comforted in these evil and perilous days. Please consider having paper and pencil handy to jot down the scriptural references for your own follow-up study. And so we begin with the weekend gospel message to follow for all hands. Heads up! Please find enclosed encouragement in so great salvation by the perfect and finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ in saving poor, needy, and wretched sinners by his sovereign free grace. That is to say, Almighty God and his unmerited favor to save me and you from our sins and from hell. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, meaning Christ, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Through the workings of our carnal frames, it is natural to us all to seek comfort from legal work instead of gospel promises. When a poor sinner is taught by man to believe, unless he performs the condition, he cannot receive the blessing of the promise. From this mistaken notion, he labors and toils for a season, but finding himself unable to reduce the doctrine to practice, he sits down in dejection and gives up all hope of mercy in this way. This will always be the case where sincerity is not suffered to give way to self-deceit. But when the Sun of Righteousness ariseth with glory in the soul, these mists of ignorance flee away. When the free love of the everlasting covenant is made manifest to a sinner's heart by the Spirit, he cries out in wonder and ecstasy, "This is all my salvation and all my desire." When by faith he beholds Jesus, the surety of the covenant, sees all the promises of life and salvation center in him, Jesus becomes the hope of his soul and the promise, the joy of his heart. Blessed be God for a precious Christ, precious promises, and precious faith. What could our God do more? What could he give more to his people than what he hath graciously done for them and freely given to them? Disciple, wherefore dost thou doubt? Why art thou reading a gloomy lecture over thy fallen state? Why sittest with folded hands and dejected look, because thou feelest the corrupt workings of thy sinful flesh? What have thy legal thoughts brought forth but that black monster called unbelief? This dares to gainsay the truths of God, deny his promises, set the Savior at naught, and rob him of his glory. What? Because thou canst not find nor feel anything in thyself to deserve God's love, or for which he should make one promise of mercy, wilt thou therefore conclude against the greatness of his love and freeness of his promises? Yea, but it is for that very reason. Because thou hast nothing in thyself but sin and misery, thy God will have all the glory of his own grace in saving thy soul, according to his promise in Christ Jesus, the Lamb, who spilt his blood for sin, who hath righteousness for the naked, and a tongue to plead the cause of the destitute, has all the promises in his hands to bestow the blessing of them on his needy members. Therefore, out of his fullness we receive, and grace for grace. So the Holy Spirit giveth us to believe and come to the inexhaustible fullness of Jesus for our every supply. Here we may fix our faith, and in the assurance of truth be confident. We shall want nothing. For this very end is connected with our comfort, the glory of God. Therefore, every promise of grace here and glory hereafter are sure. Yea and amen. So be it, according to God's purpose and grace in Christ Jesus. Please see 2 Timothy 1:9. That was from preacher William Mason, approximately the year of our Lord, 1780. Christ, our surety. Our surety is expressly said to have been made both sin and a curse for his redeemed, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Friends, please see 2 Corinthians 5:21 and also Galatians 3:13. And what a blessedness is there contained in this one view of the completeness of the church in Jesus. So that in the very moment that the child of God feels the workings of corruption within himself, and is groaning under a body of sin and death, which he carries about with him, though he sees nothing in himself but sin and imperfection, yet sometimes, as it appears to him, growing imperfections, yet looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as his surety, and considering the Redeemer's holiness, and not anything in himself as the standard of justification. Here he rests his well-founded hope. This was blessedly set forth by the Holy Ghost, as it is written in Isaiah 45:24. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. Even to him, meaning Christ, shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. Excellent message from old-timer preacher Robert Hawker. It is written, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Consider if the righteousness by which we are justified be a perfect righteousness, then we are not justified by our obedience to gospel precepts. But the righteousness whereby we are justified is a perfect righteousness, which is the righteousness of Christ alone. Friends, please see Hebrews 1:8, Matthew 6:33, and Romans 4:6. An everlasting righteousness. See Psalm 119, verse 142. That righteousness which justifieth us before God, as it is not ours, so it is not in us. But as it is Christ's righteousness, so it is in him. In me you shall have righteousness and strength. Please see Psalm 71, verses 15, 16, 19, and finally verse 24. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. Justice and mercy do both meet in this justification. Justice in that he will not justify a sinner without a perfect righteousness, and yet mercy in that he will accept him for such a righteousness. That is, neither in him nor done by him, but by his surety, meaning Christ, but by his surety for him, the guilty sinner. The joy of a believer would always be unspeakable did he always apprehend his happiness in and by Christ alone. In a word, the pure, glorious, matchless, and spotless righteousness of Christ is a soul's righteousness and resting place, as it is written again, I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only, for thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she, meaning the church, wherewith she shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Jeremiah 33:16. Excuse me, friends. The perfection of Christ's righteousness is held forth unto us, and always lieth before us, that we may be thankful for it, and peaceable with it, and rejoice in the bestower of it. Outstanding. Message from preacher Robert Purnell, the year of our Lord, 1657. For by grace alone, a reading from Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. By grace are ye saved, There is no present salvation except that which begins and ends with grace. No man can preach or possess a present salvation except those who preach and believe that we are saved by grace alone. The work is finished. Any other way of salvation is dependent on the sinner, and it will fail. That short message was from preacher Henry Mahan. Substitution. Salvation by substitution was embodied in the first promise regarding the woman's seed and his bruised heel, meaning Christ. Victory over our great enemy by his subjecting himself to the bruising of that enemy is then and there proclaimed. The clothing of our first parents with that which had passed through death in preference to the fig leaves which had not so done showed the element of substitution as that on which God had begun to act in his treatment of fallen man. Abel's sacrifice revealed the same truth, especially as contrasted with Cain's. For that which made Abel's acceptable and himself accepted was the death of as the victim, as substituted for his own. That which rendered Cain's hateful and himself rejected was the absence of that death in blood. The slain firstling was accepted by God as symbolically Abel's substitute, laid on the altar till he should come the woman's seed, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. See Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. From the beginning, God recognized this principle in his dealings with man, the just dying for the unjust, and the blessed one becoming a curse, that the cursed might be blessed. It is this truth that the gospel embodies, and it is this that we preach when, as ambassadors for Christ, we pray men in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. God's free love to the sinner is the first part of our message. God's righteous way of making that free love available for the sinner is the second. Who God is and what Christ has done make up one gospel. The belief of that gospel is eternal life, as it is written in Acts 13:39, all that believe are justified from all things. With a weak faith and a fearful heart, many a sinner stands before the altar. It is not the strength of his faith, but the perfection of the sacrifice that saves. And no feebleness of faith, no dimness of eye, no trembling of hand can change the efficacy of our burnt offering, meaning Christ and him crucified. The vigor of our faith can add nothing to it, nor can the poverty of it take anything from it. Faith in all its degrees still reads the inscription, as it is written, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. That was from preacher Horatius Bonar. It is written in Isaiah 45:22, where our Lord Jesus Christ commands, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. The Master also says in Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Friends, it is imperative that you flee to Christ Jesus today, not tomorrow, for none of us are promised another day on this planet. Today is the day of salvation. Call upon the name of the Lord while he may be found, and seek him while he is near. Only by being in Christ, the ark of our salvation, may we be delivered from the fierce wrath of Almighty God, which is coming soon upon the wicked. Great is our Lord Jesus Christ, and greatly to be praised. Take heart, friends, our mighty and glorious King of glory is inbound for his afflicted saints. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Maranatha!